The commentator, Malachy Docherty, is with us today.
Good morning, Stephen.
You know, Sir James actually came into the studio to talk about BBC Music Day.
Yeah.
And he's ventured way, way beyond that here, Malachy.
Yes, he has, yes. And one of the interesting things he said was that he'd never had this conversation before. Nobody had ever asked him about these things. So they're not rehearsed thoughts in a way, and they're quite naive thoughts, really, aren't they? But, I mean, when he talks about Paisley, you know, we often say that, you know, what we need more of in Northern Ireland is people critiquing the community that they came out of rather than attacking the other side. And I think in that sense, you know, James Galway is due some credit for doing that, however superficial his conclusions are. I mean, Paisley could not have operated without fairly fertile soil, without a community that was eager to hear the kind of things that he was saying. He could not, for instance, have, you know, I mean, he did have amazing oratorical skills. He did have an amazing power to rally a crowd and to whip up their feelings. And there were dangerous consequences of that. But he could not have used those same skills, for instance, to convert us all to peace and love and Buddhism.
But this is a man, Malachy Docherty, in Paisley, who is no longer with us, who is deceased, who is not here to defend himself. There will be a family still grieving. And here's one of the, you know, a world-famous musician getting stuck in.
Well, you know, I don't think that just because, I mean, he is part of our historical legacy. I mean, he will be written about again and he will be talked about again. And I suppose, you know, the best we can hope for is that he would be talked about in a thoughtful and sensible way. But, I mean, to take one particular example, 1964, when Paisley threatened to march up the Falls Road to remove a flag from a Sinn Féin office. I mean, the RUC, the later Chief Constable Jack Herman, who was head of the RUC in that area, said that the flag was causing no problem. And yet they went in and they took the flag out because they were afraid of a huge riot of Paisleyites coming up. And it was a massive riot. And he said, Herman himself said it was the biggest riot he'd ever experienced before or after. And the IRA got a huge fillip out of that. I mean, there were many, many young people who joined the IRA in 64 following that riot who would not have been around to contribute to the rioting in 69 if they hadn't done so.
There will be more from Sir James Galway after 10 o'clock this morning. But if you listen back to that interview there's other controversial territory there, Malachy. And if you want to pick up the phone this morning, 08459 555 678. Sir James talks about being brainwashed as a young Protestant. He talks about the British-occupied part of Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, he lives in Switzerland now, and he talks about, you know, the British occupying Ireland in 800 years ago. I'm sure he wouldn't want Switzerland to default back to how it was 800 years ago. I mean, in a strange kind of a way, this 800 years argument is a better argument for the Union than it is for an independent Ireland. Because if you're saying that Ireland was British for 800 years, then you might easily say, well, isn't that the way you should leave it, you know? But and a very naive and idealistic idea about Catholic education, you know, the idea that the Protestants got a bad education from the doctrinaire brainwashers of the Protestant churches, while the Catholics got this great education from the Jesuits. You know, if only, you know, I mean, the education that the Catholics got in their schools was fairly superficial and a poor education for a lot of them. Some were privileged through a grammar system and went on ahead. But no, I mean, there was many...
And Malachy, the irony, this is Sir James Galway talking about the British occupied part of Ireland. I think that's a point, actually, Robert and Ballymena, you're bringing up, right? Morning, Robert.
Your man Galway, that boy James Galway there, he's Sir James Galway, is he?
Yes.
Well, if he's so anti-British, who gave him his title of Sir? Why does he not give that up? Like, the man's uneducated and any facts at all in this country when you hear him talking there. Okay, Paisley created bigots. The Republican movement created bigots too. And he needn't blame the Presbyterian Church on it all either, or talk about education.
I think there's something creditable about the fact that he looks back into his own community. I mean, for all that he does it naively, I mean, isn't that what we're wishing more people would do?
Look, if people forget about the past, cut out the bigotry. More integrated schools, educate the youth together. And let everybody have their own faith.
Yeah.
Keep the faith out of politics.
Yeah.
And keep it out of education. Let families take their own children to their churches.
I think that's pretty much what James Galway said. I mean, he has, you know, that's the conclusion he came around to. He came round, you know, he came to that conclusion himself that integrated education was the way to.
I don't think the Presbyterian Church preached hatred. Like, everybody mixes up the Free Presbyterian Church that Paisley created to the ordinary Presbyterians.
Yeah.
But if you go to the Free Presbyterians in Scotland, they're no more like Free Presbyterians that Paisley created nor anything else. Sure, Paisley created the DUP. Yeah. What are they?
Well, they're a political party with a huge mandate. That's what they are, Robert. Here, Jim Wilson's called us this morning as well.
Because he wanted power.
Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
There will be a lot of reaction to that interview. More to come after 10 o'clock this morning, Jim.
Yes, well, Stephen, I listened to the slice of it that you gave, and I feel that, you know that I had no great love for Paisley because he denied the loyalist people and the loyalist community at a later date in his career. But, you know, listening to Jim Galway there, I believe he's just lost the plot because, personally, I think, you know, he has to remember where he came from and how he got his success and his fame. He was a young Protestant who was in a band and learned the flute. You know, number one, that's part of culture, that's part of our identity. It's that stuff there, and he's went away now, and he's turning saying the British occupation. So I'm beginning to wonder, you know, how a young lad who was in a band, I mean, who is now rethinking what he was and who he was, and now denying all those things that made him what he is today.
He said he was brainwashed. Sir James Galway said he was brainwashed as a young Protestant growing up.
Yeah, well, who's he been brainwashed with to deny his culture? Who's been brainwashed over the years of him being
He's not denying his culture, is he? He's giving his view.
Of course he is. You know, James Galway would not have said this a lot of years back there when he was learning the flute, when he was becoming what he was becoming as an emissary for us, what we would have seen the part of the Protestant, because he came through the bonds, you know, and the bonds is part of the loyalist group unionist culture. And what I see is, I see him on night and on, all those things. So that's why I actually said I think he's lost the plot. And sometimes when you get
because you play in a flute band, Jim Wilson, doesn't mean you have to be a loyalist all your days. Number one, he's entitled to a view. He's entitled to change his view if he wants to.
Yes, well, he can change, and that's the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making that I believe that he's denying part of the cultural identity that he had when he became a sir or a lord or whatever it is he is now. Because
he's a sir.
His growing
up, Sir James Galway.
Well, Sir James Galway. So why did he take the sir if he's so anti-British now? If he's so anti-British, why did he accept the sir?
He didn't say he was anti-British.
How is he not if he's saying this is an occupation? How is he not anti-British if he's saying this is an occupation? That the British are in Northern Ireland is an occupied them? Because that's Republican ethos. So this is an occupied country. This is our country.
Malachy
this
O'Doherty?
Is occupied because,
well, I mean,
the British are here because we want the British to be here.
Yeah, but Jim, I mean, what worries me is this feeling that that your culture and your identity are something that are branded on you at birth and that you have an obligation to stay with, that they stay with you like the colour of your eyes, and clearly they don't. And I mean,
because I'm born a Protestant, that means that later years I can turn around and deny who I was, who I am, and what, just because...
Well, you might interpret it differently, and I mean, this
convinces me that I've been brainwashed.
No, I'm not saying you've been brainwashed. I'm not saying you should say you're being brainwashed, but I'm saying that many, many people in Northern Ireland go away and they see things from a different perspective and they change their thinking about how they grew up.
I have changed my thinking from a young loyalist to them. I am working with Catholics and Republicans and working. Let me show, you know, that didn't mean that, you know, I was brainwashed. It didn't mean that I was wrong. It didn't mean all the things that I believed in as a younger lad. I mean, it means that I want to move on. I want to make a better society for myself.
Well,
and all credit to you, but does that not also mean that you would be in some way critical of the way things were in the past, even within your own community?
Yes, but the things were in the past the way they were because of both societies, not just because I'm a Protestant or because I had a view on what was happening.
The other reality here, of course, is that Sir James Galway, as an accomplished musician, he tours around the world. He has a name that is known around the world. Yeah. So his thoughts that the British are occupying a part of Ireland, I don't know if that copy, probably will now, be picked up when you get someone as famous as Sir James saying something like this. Is that the message that will be associated with him now in terms of his view on Northern Ireland, that he was brainwashed around the world?
I think more than that. I think that is the understanding that he is hearing reflected back to him in France and Switzerland. I think when he is abroad and people talk to him about Northern Ireland, what he is hearing is an easy, simple understanding that Ireland is a colonised country that is occupied by the British.
Okay, listen, let's just do this, because it's 21 minutes past nine. Here's the number, 08459 555 678. I'm very aware at this time of the morning, when lots of you are getting in and out of a car in the mornings, that you might not have heard this. So we will play it again in a moment or two. William, morning to you, William.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, William.
No, just as I said in the text, although James might be a bit naive, as he's been out of the country for a long time, his views on Paisley are absolutely correct.
Well, this is Ian Paisley, the former First Minister, is a man who many would argue risked his political career to sit down with Martin McGuinness. That iconic image of the Never Man sitting down with a leader of Sinn Féin.
But this is a man who also said in the 70s that he didn't care for power or position. He would have sold his soul to get into the First Minister's job.
Well, he would deny that, wouldn't he? But he's not around anymore to do that, which is part of this story, William, that here's a man who cannot defend himself. We've asked, as I said, Gregory Campbell was due to come on this morning to defend Mr. Paisley. He doesn't want to do so now.
That's not true.
Hold on, because I need to be fair to Gregory. Gregory says he doesn't want to come on now for legal reasons. Let's just be accurate. And we did ask the family as well. They haven't come back to us officially on air. Malachy in Belfast. Morning to you, Malachy.
Hey, Stephen.
Go ahead, Malachy.
I've listened to Peter. I've listened to Jim Wilson on your show many a time. I think Jim Wilson lives in Cuckooland. I mean Cuckooland. As a young loyalist, he joined an organisation to shoot Catholics. Why did he do that? The reason why he'd done that was because of people like Ian Paisley, who told him, United Ireland's coming, United Ireland's coming. It was never going to come. Paisley was a sectarian bigot who drove young Protestants into shooting innocent Catholics.
Ian Paisley never supported violence by loyalist paramilitaries. He opposed it throughout his whole career.
Yes, well, what he'd done was, no surrender.
Hold on.
But Jim Wilson's always on about the Protestant culture. I've worked and lived with Protestant guys my whole life. See this jumping around bonfires, getting people reared up with drink, and then going out the next day and banging drums up and down roads where Catholics live? That is not a culture.
Go on, Jim.
That is just a sectarian.
I suppose my friend there would say that it had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that they were bombing, shooting and murdering my people and trying to put them in the United Ireland. I suppose that had absolutely nothing to do with my reason for joining paramilitary.
Well,
so I think he's the one that lives in Clwyd. No, let me finish, Stephen. He's the one that lives in Clwyd, Cuckooland. And don't just turn around and jump on me on that. But see if anyone's brainwashed in this, what we're talking about here. I believe it's James Galway who's been brainwashed by all those people that he has met over the years who have listened to Republican ideology throughout the world, because the provos have had the greatest propaganda machine that terrorism has ever seen. And all the friends that James Galway now falls in with and sat and listened to them around their cocktail tables and all the rest. So I think that's what's brainwashed James Galway. And it's the reverse, And I do not. I'm a lover of Paisley because he denied the loyalist people later on. But Paisley wasn't the be-all and start-all of this conflict. The Republican movement, who will not apologise to this country and these people for what they foisted upon us, are the ones that drew me into violence and into what I was engaged in as a young
man. Let me answer that very simply. You went into violence and you're always on about the provos and the republicanism. I'm not a republican. I'm not a provo. Right? Never was. Yet, when I was a young lad growing up in Belfast, my biggest fear on building sites was getting shot dead by Protestant paramilitaries simply because I was a Roman Catholic. Nothing to do with republicanism.
And that would have been a fear of everyone who worked in Belfast.
You and your combatants, 90% of the people that you shot dead or the UVF shot dead were innocent Catholics. They weren't provies and they weren't ARA people. They were innocent Catholics. And the reason they just done that, because people like you had it in your heads that Roman Catholics were the enemy. And to this day, If you change the Roman Catholic hatred towards Muslims, Chinese, blacks, that's why all these people are attacked. Your culture and your people, as you call them, just want a Protestant Ulster for a Protestant people, full stop, and no one else in this country should have a look in. And that's still your ethos today. You're always on about not trusting the Provies and not trusting Sinn Féin. Remember this, mate, and this is very important, which you never said. When the professional IRA packed their armed struggle in, put their guns away and went into politics, that got voted in, the UVF to this day never handed in weapons, ruled the Protestant communities by terror. And
where do you live?
I don't know where you live. You live in absolute...
Where do you live? Was there not a decommissioning?
Protection money.
Was there not a decommissioning? Was there not innocent Protestants killed?
You do protection money. And tell me this,
then. Explain to me. Answer the question.
Go.
We live in Clough Cuckoo Land because there was decommissioning by the Loyalists, and there was also innocent Protestants killed in this country, and there was sectarianism from the Republican movement. So I believe that you're the one that lives in Clough Cuckoo Land. Because get real, son, because you're not in the real world, and to say that you're not a Republican, you know, you're just saying exactly how Republicans sound.
No, Jim. You see, you live in the land where you're Protestant.
Well, I live in the land where I work with cross community, so I'm a bigot, a sectarianist.
Are you a cross community worker? Every single flag that your people put up in this country is to warn off people from moving into your areas. And the reason why you do that...
rubbish again.
Is not what Catholic is going to do in the area that you live
in. Absolute rubbish.
Because you're wrong protection records. You're wrong.
Who's using... I've never involved. I've never been accused...
loyalist areas.
Oh, hold on.
I've never been tried for murder or anything.
Exactly. Hold on. Stop, you two. Now, Jim Wilson, you will want to defend yourself immediately there because you would deny what's just been said. Go ahead, Jim.
Stephen, let me tell you something. Things aren't great in loyalist Protestant areas, and they haven't been. We understand that, but it's not a hell of a lot of difference from what it is in nationalist areas. There's gangsters, there's scumbags that are running about there. Dealing with them, and for him to turn around and classify all loyalist people in the way that he did, that's just like a guy that was on your programme not so long ago.
Okay.
How do you apologise? Because he labelled all my kids and all the kids in our community as we scumbags and we drug dealers and we gangsters.
Now, the reality of this is that guy, whoever he is,
has got a mindset that's absolutely abhorrent to what we should be thinking and how we should be moving
forward.
Maybe
I can bring this back to what we're actually talking about today, and let's do it with you, Malachy O'Doherty. The discussion point here, the debate about the late Ian Paisley, the former First Minister and his legacy, it's going to be debated for decades from now, isn't it? Troublemaker or peacemaker?
Yeah.
Some would say he was a great unionist leader, Malachy. Others would disagree with that. And when you get someone of the prominence of Sir James Galway... throwing in this grenade in his criticism of the late Ian Paisley, then it just shows you how divisive a character obviously he was, even within his own community.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that there's something quite interesting here that maybe nobody has pointed out. Ian Paisley started out as a religious preacher, an evangelical preacher, who was a thundering preacher, whose great target, if you like, was Rome, and who saw Ireland and the possibility of United Ireland as being a sellout to a Protestant a heritage. And the interesting thing when you hear unionism discussing its issues with republicanism today is that you almost never hear that. Jim Wilson, for instance, who's been with us for the programme, has never at any point made the kind of point that the early Paisley would have made, that we need to defeat the IRA because if you don't defeat the IRA, the Pope will rule Ireland. So there was an absurdity, there was a naivety, or at least an obsolescence, if you like, to many of the ideas that Paisley held very dear and promoted very strongly. And those ideas have effectively expired, I think, and are not part of the discussion anymore. But when you say, you know, should we be careful about how we talk about Ian Paisley because he's dead and his family or his feelings have to be taken into consideration, that's true. But, I mean, he is an historical figure who will not be forgotten and who will be written about in history. The question is, will he be written as somebody who ultimately was the last hurrah of evangelical loyalism, or as somebody who gave it a fillip for a wee bit longer than it really deserved?